Good morning, everybody. It is your boy, Opti. We are back for another episode of Simply Bitcoin. Let's go. Today is May 11th, 2023, and welcome. I'm glad to have you guys. We have a very special show lined up for you guys. As you can tell, I'm hosting the show again, but we are still your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We cover breaking news, culture, and memetic warfare. We bring on Bitcoiners from all walks of life, literally from all around the world, from the biggest names to the everyday Bitcoiner. We got them all. This is what we aim to do for you guys. Just bring on all the voices of Bitcoin so that you guys can get the signal from every angle, and we will be your guide through the separation of money and state. And I couldn't have a better co-host today. We are experimenting a little bit. We got one of our boys over here. You guys hear him all the time on Twitter Spaces. But again, considering everything we are seeing the last couple of days, the last couple of weeks, I am very excited for today's show with my boy Mike Hobart. But before I bring him in, I know you guys looked at that thumbnail. It's so beautiful. It's got my favorite politician on it, Brad Sherman. And it's very interesting that we talk about this all the time. This idea of the separation of money and state. And me and Mike were just having this conversation behind the scene of when the politicians start talking about the quiet parts out loud. This is really when you start to see the trust in the system start to break down. And not only are we seeing this coming from the Bitcoiner perspective, we are seeing this coming from just the average everyday person. We've seen the polls. We see that people are feeling the pain of the economy. We're seeing people don't trust the banks. And we are seeing politicians say what us Bitcoiners have been saying for a long, long time in the halls of Congress. It's absolutely beautiful. And then furthermore, we have some new bills that are getting passed in Texas. And I think it is very interesting to talk about this stuff, because one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of us Bitcoiners, we get, or not even just Bitcoiners, just everyday average people, we get into this idea of there's this giant conglomerate of people that are after us. You know, we get our paranoid hat on and it's like, oh, they are all coordinated and in sync and they're here to attack us and they're so smart and they're so coordinated. And I think what we are seeing happen is the idea breaking down that there is many factions right now co-opting power and angling themselves to get more power. And there's still some politicians out there that I think are trying to do the right thing and protect the average citizen out there. But again, I don't think as Bitcoiners, this necessarily matters if you run the code, if you run the software, take your Bitcoin into self-custody. As Mike said in the beginning, this is all just a Trojan horse for us Bitcoiners to take back our freedom. And without further ado, let's bring in Mike. I'm excited for today's show. This one's going to be a good one. I got some good clips in here. I think we're going to go super hard on everything that Mike and I have been talking about. Mike's been dropping some signal on the Simply Bitcoin Substack and actually some good tweets. So we'll see how long I'm able to ring everything in for you. But how you doing this morning, Mike?
What's up, man? And nerds for the chat?
Sup, nerds? Hold on, with the finger crack. That was good. If you guys heard the conversation before, you'd understand how hilarious that is. But yeah, man, I'm excited for this one. And again, I know you guys love the Mike Hobart's takes, so we're going to come in hard on today's show. But anyways, without further ado, let's get into the numbers, boys and girls.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
Man, before I get into the numbers section, I absolutely love our YouTube chat. You guys are the goats. Anyways, you already know, you guys better be in Miami next week. I hope to hang out with you guys. You already know, Bitcoin 2023 in Miami Beach, May 18th to the 20th. And we're going to be down there. I'll be down there Tuesday night. I'll be hanging out all week. On that note, I think next week, Wednesday through Friday, we are going to have to take a hiatus. We will be dropping content for you guys, but We are all booked up. Nico's got the Thank God for Bitcoin on the Wednesday. I'm on the analyst desk on Thursday. Nico's working all Friday. But man, I said this yesterday, and there's the very interesting theme, and I'm basically going to connect this all with everything we're talking about today. But when we were talking about the Bitcoin conference at the beginning of the year, when we first were bringing people from Bitcoin Magazine on the show, we had this conversation that it was going to be energy themed. And now we're kind of having this new view come out that it might be a lot more political than most of us even thought. You know, we got Robert F. Kennedy, we got Vivek Ramaswamy, we got Tulsi Gabbard, we have Ridwan Kamil from West Java, we have, you know, Cynthia Lummis, like Patrick McHenry. I think it's going to be a very interesting conference, and I just hope you guys go hang out with us. It's a mecca down there in Miami, but I'm connecting all this together with the ideas of everything we're going to be talking about today. It is the fact that everyone is vying for power and Bitcoin is becoming a very, very hot topic. Anyways, we'll get into that the rest of the show. Before we go on, we are over here on Clark Moody's dashboard, and the current block height is 789,270, all-time high in block height. It's almost like Bitcoin works. You might want to get some just in case it catches on. Anyways, the current Bitcoin price is at 27,210, which means the Moscow time, aka the sats per dollar, is at 3,674. Let's hope HODLNOT is right and we never see 4K again. But hey, let's not hold our breath. We might have one more drop in us. But who knows? Who knows? No more tea leaves. Anyways, the percentage of total Bitcoin ever going to be created is at 92.24%. Again, that is all Bitcoin ever is already in circulation at 92.24%. The current realized monetary inflation is 1.75%, taking fiat currencies to school. We just got the CPI numbers in yesterday, and it was at 4.9. And it reminds me of what Greg Foss was saying. It's like, yeah, last year I lost 8 pounds, but this year – or no, last year I gained 8 pounds, but this year I only gained 5. Like, we're doing so well. I really like that framing. Anyways, the current market capitalization of Bitcoin in fiat dollar price is $527.2 billion. The Bitcoin versus gold market cap is 3.87%, less than 4% of the gold market cap. There's so much to grow in the Bitcoin space, and you guys still think we're late. Anyways, the total capacity in the Lightning Network, at least public capacity, is 5,342.07 BTC, which equals out to $145.4 million in fiat dirty cuck bucks. Anyways, the public reachable Bitcoin nodes is 17,096. The hash rate in the last 2016 blocks is at 350 exahashes. The last 90 days at 332 exahashes. And I brought in these new numbers because I think they're very interesting. Yesterday, the estimated difficulty change was at like -3. Today, we're at 0.1%. So, hey, it's almost like the Bitcoin network is working as planned. And I know everyone is watching the mempool or on mempool.space right now. And so I'm adding these numbers. I did see this morning that the sats per byte are going down. We have yet to see the 1 sat fees again, but hey, the low priority is at 8 sats right now. Dude, we're almost back to normal, guys. Anyways, 70 blocks to clear, and the pending fees is 17.64 BTC. So it's almost like Bitcoin works, guys. It's almost like it's designed to work in a very special way. Anyways, let's get into this numbers, guys. I know you guys saw this clip over on CoinDesk. They clipped 14 seconds of it, and they got the very spicy part. But I went over, I subjected myself to a lot longer of this Congress hearing than I wanted to. And I got more ridiculous stuff from Brad Sherman. And like I said in the thumbnail, he's by far my favorite politician because he's saying the quiet parts out loud. He is, you know, and actually me and Michael probably have a little debate on this one because we have had the same debate in spaces, but he is like the only politician that really knows what game is being played. And every time I hear let's get into it. But in my opinion, Brad Sherman is absolutely terrified of Bitcoin, or rather paid off to act like he's terrified of Bitcoin. And guys, just look, I'm going to just let him speak because this is absolutely ridiculous. And it's a little longer clip than usual, but I had to get all this sauce in here for you guys so you could just hear how ridiculous this guy really is. All right, check this out.
Bit of missing out. Somebody else may get ahead of us in this technology. The Bahamas is ahead of us. Peru is ahead of us in cocaine cultivation. China is ahead of us in organ harvesting, and the Cayman Islands is ahead of us in financial crime. We don't need to catch up. Fentanyl is a new innovative technology. We don't need a regulatory system that rewards those who created that innovation. There are gaps in our regulatory system because Congress fails to pass a law prohibiting Americans from buying cryptocurrency. There are gaps in our law because we have not, in the alternative, passed a law saying that cryptocurrency is clearly a security. So we're going to leave it to the courts to decide based on the Howey test. And there are gaps because the crypto industry cannot prosper unless much of it is underwater, immune from the know your customer, anti-money laundering statutes. That doesn't mean everybody who invests in cryptocurrency is trying to hide money, although cryptocurrency means hidden money. Sometimes they think they can just make a profit investing in cryptocurrency and selling it to someone else who needs to hide their money. Just as you can make money by investing in a burglary tool factory without actually being a burglar. Sam Bankman-Fried is out on bail, unfortunately, living in my state much better than most of my constituents. But his ghost is still in this room. He haunts the halls of Rayburn, but let's remember why he was here. For one reason, to prevent the SEC from having jurisdiction over cryptocurrency and to give cryptocurrency the baby regulation, the patina of regulation that would be provided through the CFTC. If you want to know whether crypto is a currency or whether crypto is a security, just ask yourself, are those in the crypto business engaged in the financial services business or the agriculture business? It's clear that they want the agriculture committee regulator on this to provide a patina of regulation. All of the money and power in this town is in the pro-crypto side because crypto bros make money literally by making money, and they've made over $1 trillion out of thin air. They'll accuse the U.S. government of making money out of thin air. Maybe we do, but we're the U.S. government. What we're able to do benefits the American people in a democratic system. Nobody elected Sam Bankman-Fried.
All right. So much to unpack, but I'm glad I did that whole thing for you guys so you guys can hear it. I mean, first and foremost, though, the original framing of the beginning of that clip, comparing the FOMO of missing out to organ harvesting, drug use, and criminality is just absolutely insane. And it just goes to show the gaslighting that politicians like Brad Sherman do to the average normie out there. But again, honestly, like hearing that as a Bitcoiner, as a Bitcoin-only person, I'm kind of like agreeing with him to an extent because like there's Bitcoin and there's crypto, and like whoever gave SBF like God King status here, like he's a scammer. I do not condone SBF. And I've been saying for a while that FTX will be used for low hanging fruit for a long time to make us all look bad. Shitcoiners make us all look bad over time. And I don't want to use we. Making examples of the scammers, I think, is a good thing moving forward so that we can separate Bitcoin from crypto. Anyways, Mike, before you jump in here, I want to read this sentence from Marty Bent's The Bent newsletter, issue 1342, Bitcoin doesn't come out of thin air, because obviously, as we're saying, he said the quiet part out loud. And as Bitcoiners, how many times have we had this conversation that printing money is literally making money out of thin air? Fiat literally means by decree. And they justify all of this stuff because it, quote unquote, benefits the American people in a democratic process. But I really like how Marty Bent summed this up. Sherman's comments make it obvious that he believes two things: that Bitcoin is created out of thin air and that the U.S. government is supposed to be the final decision maker on what money people can use. Sherman's comments highlight how truly disconnected politicians have become from their duties as civil servants. These people truly believe they should rule over us. The concept of them working on behalf of the American people doesn't even register in their minds anymore. They view themselves as rulers to be respected and obeyed, and they deserve neither our respect or our obedience. These people should be ridiculed incessantly and referred to as predators who feed on an unwitting public that has been slowly but surely forced to bend to their will. And this is why I always call them the unproductive class, because it is becoming very obvious where their incentives lie. And shouts out to Walker from the Crypto Couple, who brought this to my attention a couple of weeks ago. But just check out some of Brad Sherman's, biggest donations. Some of, Fidelity Investment, Blackstone Group, and by industry, securities and investments, real estate, Democratic Party, commercial banks, insurance. So you can tell where his incentive lies. And while he may be coming out as like, Bitcoiners or crypto bros are criminals, we know that he's making cover for the banking system. And while he can parade himself as being some kind of hero, he's my favorite politician just because he's that transparent. He's just like, yeah, we should kill Bitcoin because they are creating this out of thin air. Little does he know probably how mining works, but he says the quiet part out loud, that the U.S. literally makes money out of thin air with no proof of work, and it's for your good, citizen. Just accept it. Accept being poor. Accept that they're stealing your future because, hey, look how much good we are doing. And man, it's just like tyrant's gonna tyrant. Anyways, Mike, jump in, and then I wanna show this other little memo that was circulated. What's your thoughts on this video? And then we'll talk about this other little thing just to kind of add to what we were talking about here.
Opti, buddy, we gotta talk about who your favorite people are, especially when we're talking about individuals that are supposed to be representing the United States of America. Brad Sherman is not one of those people I would put on that list.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, I know you are.
But hey, you got to make it clear sometimes. We do have to make it clear sometimes.
Yeah, and I understand why he is some of your guys' favorites, because he is like the weakest part of the opposition. So it's like if you're trying to break a chain, like your favorite link in the chain is the weakest one. It's like, all right, like, yeah, you're my favorite. I'm going to focus on you, and we're going to make sure that you spread to the other chains and make everybody else weak. But first of all, like you touched on with that ridiculous little tirade you went on, fentanyl is not an innovative tech. So that's a flat out just like falsity. And then claiming that crypto or Bitcoin needs dark money. Like, I take it Brad Sherman is just completely ignorant to the fact of like dark pool money and shadow banking within the current fiat system. Like what are we talking about here? Like, it's just, ugh, dude. I don't know how much more. It's just the reason that I take the aggressive stance against Brad, against you, is that politicians are supposed to be leaders in some sort of sense, like as far as civil servants, because true leaders are serving their constituents. We're supposed to be shepherds to lead everybody to the promised land, right? But the fact that he's in this position and he's representing the U.S. populace in this way, like, it's just like like we were discussing earlier, like when it comes to, so our leadership and our politicians have gotten to the point of where they're no longer civil servants. And like the chat is saying, they're tyrants and they believe they're royalty and that they are the ones in charge. The problem is with what Brad said, like you're talking about, let's say in the quiet part out loud, when you're in a position where you're aiming to manipulate the populace, you don't acknowledge the double standard. That exposes just how stupid Brad Sherman really is. And like, that's me being very measured in how I talk about how what I think about Brad. Like the things that I think about Brad, like as far as like we can say it in spaces and stuff, but whatever. But peak idiocy is to bring the double standard to light, because now everybody that is going to see that clip on Twitter, because nobody watched that live stream. Everybody that's going to see that on Twitter and on TikTok and on Instagram, because you guys are circulating it as you should, they're going to be like, wait a minute. Rules for me, but not for thee. Like, why am I abiding by this rule system? Because even children can identify that imbalance, and then like they won't want to play that game anymore. It's also one of the reasons why people don't like playing Monopoly, besides the fact it takes so long.
Love it. Mike, what was it that you put on Twitter yesterday? Something about inflation under that comment that you saw. Ben Sherman.
Yeah. I tweeted at Brad over that clip, and I said, Brad, you do realize that the way that they made money, the crypto bros, as you refer to, the way that they made money off of having money just printed into thin air is through inflation via monetary debasement. You idiot. It's like, that's exactly what the US dollar did. That's why this S&P is up. That's why everybody's house is up 40%. And that's why nobody's actually up on anything.
Love it. All right, guys, at the risk of letting the numbers run a little long, Caitlin Long also retweeted this yesterday. And we know that this financial hearing happened yesterday, but this came out May 9th. So yesterday was May 10th. This memo came out. It got leaked yesterday. But just look at what the key messages are. What's it got over here that the Dems are sticking to over here. And again, we try to stay as bipartisan as possible, but it is very obvious that there is a cohort of the left that are very actively against crypto. And to an extent, I kind of agree with this, but there is some good signal here. So I want to read this. And me and Mike were kind of going back and forth on this one last night. So let me just read this real quick, and then we'll do a couple little rants on this. So key messages. One, while Republicans claim that they are working to provide clarity to the markets by carving out space for the CFTC and crypto, they're simultaneously undermining and hamstringing the agency by proposing to cut its budget. Republicans are proving that they really aren't serious about protecting investors and consumers. Committee Republicans are trying to pass pro-crypto legislation in June. Well, newsflash, our nation is set to default on its debt as early as June 1st. Interesting. Republicans' number one priority must be to join Democrats in passing a clean debt ceiling bill to avoid an economic catastrophe before it's too late. Republicans have decided to embark on a partisan pursuit of sweeping digital assets legislation that erects entirely new legal framework for the crypto industry. When neither the Biden administration, investors, the SEC, nor other financial regulators have called on Congress to do so, the problem isn't ambiguity. It's mass noncompliance with existing laws, and crypto companies can't be let off the hook. The U.S. has a regulatory system that has worked well and sustained massive innovation in the financial system for decades. We can't invent new accommodating regulatory structures simply because crypto companies refuse to follow clear rules of the road. Is it a turf war if no one is fighting? Both the SEC and CFTC are aligned on the fact that the SEC is the regulator to determine if crypto assets are securities, and the SEC has made it clear that nearly all crypto assets are securities. End of story. So, first and foremost, I am glad that they are at least internally talking about defaulting on their debts on June 1st. And, you know, what's Greg Foss always say? It's 11th grade math. But again, as a Bitcoiner, and I texted this to Mike last night, as a Bitcoiner, I kind of like agree with this, because it is very bent towards like the crypto, you know, the crypto space. Yeah, most of the cryptos are securities, and the securities laws are very clear about that. You know, the Howey test is very clear about what's a security and what's not. And so like as a Bitcoiner, I'm kind of like, all right, I'm okay with this. But on like on a more nuanced take, understanding where these uninformed or rather nefarious computer illiterates that are in Congress, I know that they're combining Bitcoin and crypto in one thing. And so then you really get to the crux of the situation and where they're trying to angle what they're doing. And I mean, it's just disgusting that they are angling to hurt the average citizen. And it's like something that we'll talk about in the next portion as well. But what Mike already said, politicians, are supposedly here to uphold their oath to, you know, serve the citizens, and they're just actively working for their own benefit. And it's just becoming more and more clear every single day that you need to opt out of this madness and save in Bitcoin because the powers that be don't care about you. Anyways, Mike, jump in before we go into the next segment.
Oh, I don't think I have a whole lot to say as far as like,
let's go
continuing on from that, man. Let's go on to the next section.
All right, beautiful.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
All right, guys, before we get into the news segment today, I know you guys are going to be in Miami. Come hang out with us. There's a bunch of events on the Orange Pell app. Stack friends who stack sats. This is the number one resource for the Bitcoin-only events to hang out with Bitcoiners. And I think that one of the most important things that people need to be doing is building a community of Bitcoiners around you. And what better way than to get on the Orange Pell app? Find people around you. I know Mike's on there. Shouts out to everyone. Hit me in the DMs. I looked at them today or yesterday, and there was way too many for me. I'm like, I need to focus on what I'm doing today. So I'll hit you guys up soon. Really appreciate all you guys. And man, let's connect down in Miami. Shoot me DMs. I will do my best to answer all my DMs by the time we get into Miami, and we'll figure out all the cool things to be doing. Connect on the orangepillapp.com. Stack them friends who stack sats. Anyways, guys, let's get into this news segment. So actually, I'm going to have to pull this down. So yesterday, as much as we got this information from Brad Sherman and this Congress law and this great sound bit, we got this news coming out of Texas. And I was talking with Mike about this in the pre-show, and I'm a little bit, just on the fence about how I feel about this, because you guys heard me say it in the past, boomers write down stuff on piece of paper and expect us to change our behavior. But I really like how Mike said it. It's like, this is just a Trojan horse for us to get in the door and just show them about what true freedom is about. Anyways, I got this video right here. This is Lee Bratcher on Twitter, and he goes, breaking: Texas legislation passes HB 591. It clarifies that formerly flared or vented gas can be sold to on-site mobile data centers, aka Bitcoin farms. And this will be off-grid Bitcoin miners, reducing the carbon impact by 63%. So let's get this video playing so you guys can hear it for his own words.
We are thrilled to announce that the Texas House and Senate have just passed our flare gas mitigation bill, House Bill 591. This bill will soon go to Governor Abbott's desk for signature. House Bill 591 is a bill that clarifies that oil and gas operators can sell formerly flared or vented gas for on-site consumption for mobile data centers. Oftentimes, these mobile data centers will be Bitcoin miners powered by natural gas generators. There's a 63% carbon impact reduction when gas is redirected in this way. It's a great example of industries coming together to create economic activity, jobs, and tax revenue, while at the same time mitigating carbon emissions. We want to recognize and thank Representative Giovanni Capriglione, the House author, Senator Cesar Blanco, the Senate author, Spencer Schumacher, the Executive Director of the Innovation and Technology Caucus of the Texas Legislature, and TBC members who spent countless hours researching and testifying on this bill. Members like Brent Whitehead, Griffin Habe, Brandon Martin, and many others. Thank you all for your efforts.
Love to see it. And I do have the bill here, and I'm going to need Mike to break down the legalese here, but I just highlighted the beginning. It says this bill is to be entitled an act relating to an exemption from the severance tax for gas produced from certain wells that is consumed near the well and would otherwise have been lawfully vented or flared. And without going into the whole bill, because Mike basically summed it up very well, legalese is 90% garbage and 10% signal. So Mike, as someone that had worked with Great American Mining, what's your view on this? And of course, there is some other stuff that came out, and we will connect this with the idea of warring factions in the political field. But first, your initial thoughts on this bill passing, Mike.
The good thing about this bill is that it's a good thing, but it's not like, and the funny thing is it's at a pivotal moment to where it was just very 10% signal. As far as like those of you who haven't read through like bills and stuff, like when I say 90% garbage, I fully mean that 90% of it is just elaboration on what they're meaning when they go to say something. Like it, like that's like the majority of the document is just like, this is what this pertains to for this reason, all this other, like it's nonsense if you know what you're talking about. So like it's painful to read through it. But what the bill initially states is that any well that was producing natural gas as associated natural gas, any well that was previously flaring or venting, because of the fact it wasn't economical to either capture it and liquefy it or to pipe it out through like a pipe, just, you know, a natural gas pipeline. If it's not economical or commercially viable, then those wells are allowed to consume that gas via Bitcoin miners instead of just flaring it. It doesn't sound like a lot, but the fact that they put it into a bill makes it very, very powerful in the sense of now it's kind of like, it's also, not only is it opening the floodgates for Bitcoin miners in Texas as far as like the off-grid miners, but it's also just kind of pertaining to the fact that it's protecting them as far as like it's less of a there's less gray area in the sense of these miners are now getting to the point of being allowed to go out and operate fully. And like at the same time, it's also protecting like the environment, like the individual, I can't remember his name, said in the video, but it's also to the point of where it's protecting the oil and gas producers, which like Opti and I have talked about, and many of us that are in the chat have talked together on Spaces, is that US is going to need more and more oil and gas going into the future. So like this is all just good stuff. It doesn't sound like a lot. It doesn't sound very powerful, but it is in fact pretty damn powerful.
Yeah, especially when we consider what we were talking about, what everyone was freaking out about 2 weeks ago, the SB 1751 bill in Texas, yep, as well. And it was angling towards looking like Texas wasn't going to continue to be the leader in Bitcoin mining. And I have this great, great article over here. Shouts out to Matthew. He was on the show with Luxor Mining, and this is Hash Rate Index. And it goes, SB 1751 would limit Bitcoin mining demand response in Texas, and SB 6 and SB 7 would benefit peaker plants. And I know Mike's been talking about this for a while. Not to recap everything about SB 1751, because we did cover that a few weeks ago. But in this article, it shows very clearly and pretty thoroughly that the people that would benefit the most would be none other than Berkshire Hathaway, Charlie Munger, and Warren Buffett themselves, and hence why they are so adamant to shut down and, excuse my French, shit on Bitcoin. And it just really goes to show, in my opinion, that there is not one cohesive political faction either fighting for or against Bitcoin. Yeah. There is very many interests involved right now. There's some people trying to push bills that are for Bitcoin. What I would say, you know, like real politicians. And then there's other people that are just basically bought and paid for by the lobbyists. And it's just very interesting. And I know Mike talked about this in the Spaces for a while about who would benefit if SB 1751 would be passed. And it's almost like the peaker plants. It's almost like the Canteon insiders would be the benefit. Anyways, Mike, if you want to jump in real quick on that one.
Yeah. As far as this is something that a lot of the Bitcoin community needs to kind of like understand and really like you are laying it out perfectly in the sense of we have to be able to differentiate the benefits for on-grid miners versus off-grid miners. The previous bill was benefiting off-grid miners. This bill is not benefiting on-grid miners. Like you're on two sides of the meter. Off-grid is behind the meter. On-grid is in front of the meter. This is basically what it's pertaining to. There's a lot more concerns as far as like defending the grid infrastructure with the on-grid miners than there is for the off-grid, because they're, again, not connected to it. But yeah, like, and like, honestly, and I wrote about this, if you guys read my Bitcoin is Power article that I think we're even going to be talking about maybe a little bit later.
Yes, sir.
If you guys read that, I believe it was that article where I talked about how the on-grid miners are more than likely going to be relatively disintermediated or differentiated away from because of that relationship with being on grid. A lot more people are going to be more concerned with, well, what if I can't watch my Netflix if the Bitcoin miners are running, which we know is ridiculous, but that's what people are going to care about. People don't interact with the wells that are off grid and out in the middle of Texas and in South Dakota and New Mexico and everything. Like, there's not many people out there, so they're just not going to be thinking of it.
Absolutely love it. That's why I love you here, Mike. Bring in the receipts. Anyways, on that same note, we also got this bill that was passed yesterday. This is Tom Glass on Twitter, and he goes, Texas House voted 139-2 tonight to add the following to the Texas Bill of Rights. And I have a little blog right up here, and it's the right to use cash and cash substitutes. And they added the right of the people to own, hold, and use mutually agreed upon medium of exchange, including cash, coin, bullion, digital currency, your script when trading and contracting for goods and services shall not be infringed. No government shall prohibit or encumber ownership or holding of any form or any amount of money or other currency. And it just needed one more vote in the House on HJR 146 and then on to the Senate and the vote of the people. So it's looking again like there is still some politicians out there, as Mike was saying, that are Trojan horsing freedom and endorsing Bitcoin. And it's just awesome to see this on a state level. I am currently in Texas, and it was kind of a little buzzkill last couple of weeks where it's like, oh man, shit. It looks like Texas is not so favorable towards Bitcoin mining. But now it's almost looking like the politicians out here are really, really about their freedom. And I'll throw this in the notes for you guys, but in this blog post right here, they're saying everything that we talk about all the time on Twitter, on Spaces, on this show. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph because we are going a little bit long. And it really lays out the case that we talk about here consistently as Bitcoiners, that we are here for the freedom of humans to transact, the separation of money and state. And look at this first paragraph. So an essential part of keeping Texas strong and free from federal interference is the protection of the financial health and privacy of Texans. An unstable dollar can destroy the wealth that Texans have spent a lifetime producing. Texas cannot allow global financial elites to force Texans to use and pay for their services, leaving all of their financial eggs in one basket, subject to devaluation and confiscation. And Texas cannot allow their financial privacy to be destroyed, being forced into having every financial transaction they make subject to scrutiny by prying government officials, competitors, and employees. But the global elites and powerful interests have been telling us for a number of years now that they plan to do exactly that to Texans: destroy the wealth we hold in the U.S. dollar, force us into using financial services, and creating the ultimate tool for the police state, which will end financial privacy. Fortunately, Texas now has a way to head off this looming disaster, and we have the proposal called the right to use cash and cash substitutes. Again, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, guys, but it's something that we talk about here all the time, and it's the idea that the Bitcoin signal just continuously is spreading out there, and there is a very real need for some political traction in regard, some political favorable environment for Bitcoin, because, hey, Bitcoin will succeed. In my opinion, I think Bitcoin is inevitable, but I would very much like a favorable environment to be a Bitcoiner. I do not want to leave America yet. I think America is the, you know, on the Texas metaphor, the last Alamo of freedom, the last bastion of freedom. And we need to stand up and I'm not going to call for what Mike's going to call hinting on the French Revolution, but we need to put these politicians in place. And I think this is a good place to start. And again, as the Bitcoiner, I do have this very real disgust with politics. And I feel like, hey, Who are they to tell me what I can and can't do? A boomer writes something on a piece of paper and expects me to stop holding Bitcoin. I know all you guys smoke weed out there. You never stopped you when it was illegal before. Why do you think people are going to stop holding the best money, the best way to save their value moving forward? Like, I really don't think it matters what someone says in at a state level, at a federal level, when it comes to Bitcoin. I think entrepreneurs and individuals will adopt what is best for them, and they will have to bend the knee to Bitcoin. And Bitcoin changes you. You don't change Bitcoin. And I think we're just going to see this play out on a political level as well. We're seeing it play out slowly but surely. And I think that's where we're at. But on the same hand, on the same token, I do understand that, hey, I would much rather have Bitcoin politicians making favorable rules for me than having to fight the uphill battle. But I'm still on the fence on this idea because I write more laws to regulate and protect these Bitcoiners. It just seems convoluted when it's just like, you can't stop Bitcoin. Bitcoin will rat around all this madness. Anyways, Mike, what's your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, so problem is that what you're kind of getting at is that we are incentivized and we're trying to change the system from within the system, which myself, Greg Foss, Alex, basically everybody, like, unfortunately, it's really, 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 really difficult and unlikely to change a system from within the system when the system is incentivized to defend itself. And that's why we're at the point where I've written about how I thought that the U.S. was going towards a situation where, because of the political bifurcation, I thought that there was more of a likelihood of like trade federations developing between particularly the Midwest and Texas and the two coastal systems. But the problem is that these fiat systems, as we've seen across like all of history, it gets to this point where the populace just gets fed up, and particularly at the politicians that are like the Brad Shermans. And the problem is that when enough of the populace gets to the point of realizing that it's rules for thee and not for me, and that they are on the receiving end of the worst parts of that system, they tend to, sometimes the only thing left to do is just flip the game board over and start anew. And I really don't want to get to that point because, as Oppie said, the French particularly like to deploy guillotines in that kind of system. And I would really rather not see that happen. Bitcoin is going to be the way to do it. Bitcoin is honestly the way to do it, but we have to get the Trojan horse into Troy so we can get Helen back. And like, this is part of like the whole playing the political game is like, I was telling Opti, it's like, hey, no, like, let us in. Like, we have this big orange Trojan horse for you. We want to party with you. Like, we're not here to fight. And then we can get the Trojan horse in. It's like, hey, just kidding, fuckers. Like, we're taking over the city.
Yeah, I absolutely love that metaphor. It's so spot on. But yeah, I mean, as the Bitcoiner, the Bitcoiner in me, the anti-authoritarian in me, it feels like asking for compliance is just like a dead end street. And we just need entrepreneurs and Bitcoiners to maybe just get into some good old fashioned civil disobedience and just be like, hey, go fuck yourself. I'm holding Bitcoin. You can't tell me otherwise. I took Bitcoin into self custody and there's nothing you can do about it. And maybe this is how we go. But of course, we'd much rather have the least amount of bloodshed as possible. This is a peaceful revolution. This is a peaceful protest by just opting out of all the madness. But hey, we shall see. None of us have a crystal ball. We don't know exactly how this is going forward. We just know what we're going to do as individuals, and that's saving Bitcoin and take Bitcoin into self-custody. Like,
and to that point, before we go on to the next thing, the reason throughout history that people have had to flip the game board over is because they haven't had a lifeboat like Bitcoin. Bitcoin does change the entire like game theory, rule set, the next game board, and it allows for a infiltration and a penetration and a reconfiguration of the entire system from the inside out. It can. Will it work out that way? It remains to be seen. But the more people that we can orange pill, the more people that can watch Simply Bitcoin and learn this stuff, the more that we can get the message out there, the more we can get the signal out there and prevent people from getting to that panic point of wanting to flip the board over. Because you really do sleep well at night when you custody your own Bitcoin and you're like, okay, it's down 10%. I don't care. I still have something. 10% of something is still going to be better than 100% of nothing.
Yeah, 110%. All right, let's get into the culture.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
Let's go. Before we go, though, go check out swanbitcoin.com/IRA. If you are a part of the legacy system, if you can't fully opt out of the madness, go to Swan IRA, Swan's new offer. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options. The best fit your needs, guys. I know as Bitcoiners, we're like, yo, just buy Bitcoiners. Just buy Bitcoin. This is the best way. But there are people that still are part of the traditional financial world, and they need these kinds of vehicles. So go to swanbitcoin.com/IRA. You can get all the details. This isn't an ETF. This is real Bitcoin. It's not a derivative. Get on swanbitcoin.com/IRA if this is going to fit your needs. Anyways, let's get into the culture. And I'm so glad that we had Mike on today, because he's been dropping a lot of signal on our Substack, and he just dropped the third installment of The Unfolding of the Second Renaissance. And it's basically on the same idea about the pending energy revolution and how Bitcoin mining will revolutionize the world. And not only that, will basically force the world to innovate, to get better. And then I'm connecting this with his article that he brought up, Bitcoin is power. And it's something that we talk about all the time. It's the idea, look, guys, money is power, which means the double entendre of Bitcoin is power is truer than ever. Guys, if we're playing the game that we really think we're playing, then we are playing for all the marbles. And what does that mean? That Bitcoiners will hold all the power eventually. And I think part of that idea is the idea of being political. I'm not political at all. I'm as apolitical as they come. But I am starting to understand that politics is simply all about power. And I think just having this basic understanding and this basic viewpoint of what's going on in the world is a very important framework moving forward. I'll do enough ranting. Mike, what's your thoughts on all this? Connect the numbers and the news together. Let's get a little Mike Hobart rant today.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm going to correct you a little bit too. It's like apolitical Perfect. Is still a political position. So sorry, guys. It's just like with trading. You don't have to be long or short. Being in cash is still a position. So you can be apolitical, you're still political. You can be libertarian, you can be anarchist, you're still being political. So, you know, and politics is really just dealing with other humans. So if you don't want to be political, then you would probably have to just go live in a cave alone for the rest of your life and have fun doing that. But yeah, so as far as the Renaissance goes, we're getting to the point now between like TerraWolf and their nuclear power plant that I briefly talked about, spooling up to use Bitcoin mining, as far as like energy demand, providing demand for the project and everything. This Renaissance we're going to see as it develops and unfolds is going to be very, very, very interesting, because of the fact that not only is Bitcoin political or monetary power, but it's power in the sense of it incentivizes power. Like, it incentivizes generating more energy and more power to the point of where we can generate power beyond what the societal demand is. And I know you guys have heard me talk about this tons of times, and I'm going to keep talking about it because it's super, super important. When you can generate power beyond societal demand and have the economic system in place to where those generators are capable of profiting and benefiting, and they're incentivized to continue doing so, it's going to be very, very valuable to the sense of energy, and the cost of energy is the very first input that goes into pricing a good or a service. I want you to think about that a little bit. Like, what goods and services are super expensive today that everybody needs? Healthcare is probably the first one that comes to mind, in my opinion. I don't know about you guys, but when it comes to the point of like providing good healthcare, in the sense of the technology and the services that are utilized in order to provide good healthcare, like, because like we're at a political or a public health situation now where everybody needs it. And if we are going into a situation where Bitcoin is incentivizing greater energy generation beyond that of the like civil and societal demand, when you get demand outsetting or disrupting the balance between supply and demand, when you have more supply than you do demand, then the price goes down, right? Or it should, as long as, you know, markets aren't manipulated and everything. But like, we can have that conversation if you really want. But in that essence, we generate more power, we make it cheap, we make good, cheap, high density energy to the point where we're being efficient. We're not relying on ridiculous intermittent sources like solar and wind, to the point of where everybody can predictably have access to cheap, reliable energy. Then you can get to the point of performing like research and development. Like R&D has a lot of cost. A lot of that cost is the energy that goes into attempting to find a new technology or solution without knowing whether it's going to work or not. That, like today, imagine trying to build like a brand new nuclear generator or SMR or something like that without knowing the actual solution to getting to it. It's going to cost you a ton of money and a ton of time. You reduce the energy cost, you start to get into a situation where a lot, and we're also at a point now where I've talked about with Opti and Nico before, we're sitting at a situation now where telecommunications is near instant as well. So like you have the exchange of ideas and the flow of money near instantaneous, getting to the point of now where that money is also incentivized by greater energy generation. We are literally on the cusp of the second like renaissance for the human race. And it's going to be really, really, really weird. Like weird as in exciting, like I'm excited for it, but it's going to be weird in the sense of changes are going to start happening really quickly. There's going to be new technologies and new ideas that work and are going to get deployed really, really fast. And it's technology and money are tools. So like some of it's going to be positive, some of it's going to be negative, and everybody needs to be prepared for it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's further proof of like us on this show and being able to just like ridicule Brad Sherman, you know, in real time and just showing the hypocrisy of what's going on. And it's something that we've talked about in the past. It's, I think people forget that you have supercomputers in your pocket and you are completely interconnected with the world at your fingertips. And you guys really underestimate the powers that you have by communicating, by just sending the memes, by putting out the content yourself. Like, we are having a real-time dialogue with everyone around the globe right now. And I think people really underestimate that power because, like, things are moving at a speed that is absolutely incredible. It's just we're waiting for the Bitcoin price to grow up, and we're just like, wait, like why isn't it happening quicker? And it's again just like standard Bitcoin memes, like lower your time preference.
Yeah, and that's where the halving is a very pivotal role in it, because we were talking about, like you just mentioned, everyone's like, well, why isn't the price shooting up? Like, all of these bullish developments are happening. It's like, well, you guys also have to pay attention and be like, and allow for the grace and honesty of understanding. It's like shifting momentum takes a lot of time and energy. Like, have you ever watched a football game? Like when the leading team has the momentum, like it takes quite a bit of effort in order to slow them down and then shift that momentum going back the other way. And then you also have to carry that momentum forward to the point of a beneficial or desirable outcome. Like, there's a lot of effort that's going on into this. We're seeing the benefits of that energy shift going on right now with like all the political developments, all of like for the last like 2 or 3 years, like ExxonMobil and Chevron and all these guys talking about how they're using data centers, which we know are Bitcoin miners, to consume flare gas and all this other stuff. We know about that. Or like the banks, like, or the financial institutions like Fidelity and all, and JP Morgan and BNY Mellon, all coming along showing like that they're interested in Bitcoin. These are all the little chips in the momentum that are working in our favor. But then the Bitcoin halving comes up, and then there's all that demand spooling up, the momentum is shifting, and then all of a sudden you get the subsidy issuance just ripped in half. So like, and this is why the seasoned Bitcoiners, those of us that have been through at least one full cycle and experienced it, because you have to kind of be like 5-6 years to really like fully understand it and experience it. That's why so many of us are so calm. It's like, you don't understand because you haven't felt it yet. But when you do, it will change the way you look in the future forever. Like, and it's all for the benefit, in my opinion.
Hey, we don't call it Bitcoin Zen for no reason.
Right?
You just like, you've been through so much shit at this point. You're just like, whatever. What's that one meme of like the guy on the roller coaster and he's just like straight face? Like, that's where we are. Anyway, let's get into the memes, guys. This is why you're here.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Actually, guys, I almost forgot. Shouts out to BitPlates. Easy to use, hard to destroy. Get yourself a BitPlates Domino. It's designed to preserve your Bitcoin wallet. Guys, do not leave your seed phrase in your sock drawer on a piece of paper. This is not the way. Get something that is indestructible. Go to BitPlates.com. Get 10% off if you use the code SIMPLY. But without further ado, Kaboom Racks. We are in the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show. And you already know the deal. I mean, me and Mike just talked about it. We are in an information war, guys. You guys have supercomputers in your pockets. Don't underestimate your influence. Don't underestimate the effect you can have by spreading the signal, by waking up your friends, your family, your normie friends, if you still have some of them. Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. And just keep sending me memes, whether it's on Telegram, whether it's on Twitter. I am seeing them all, and I'm trying to get them all as quickly as possible. Well, anyways, this first one, shouts out to my boy. I don't know what's his name. Opti's Golf Caddy. he dropped this meme on us because we dropped this one over here. Shouts out to BTC Therapist. He's got added to the Simply Bitcoin meme collection, and he dropped this pretty awesome one. I know you guys watched that like Ted Bundy clip on Netflix, and he goes, I told you we're going to watch the mempool clear, and then you can leave, and it's Bitcoiners watching the mempool clear, and here we go, Copernicus, and he goes, me counting all the sats I saved waiting for the shitcoiners to go broke. I lowballed my fees as well. It took a few days to get my transaction to go through, but hey, it went through. I am not going to feed into the hype. Anyways, this next meme is by Shaquille Oatmeal and or at Crypto on Twitter, and it goes, me sending a transaction after not organizing my UTXOs, and we got a lady here getting paid at the Apple store with pennies and quarters and nickels, and this is us organizing our UTXOs after we're getting wrecked by the high fees. Anyways, this next meme is by Maxi's Club, and it goes, $3.91. Thank you. And I know you guys saw this on Twitter. And we got the scammers going, we broke Bitcoin. And we got Bitcoin miners in a suit drinking champagne just going, it feels good, man. Thank you for breaking Bitcoin and making us rich. Anyways, this next meme is by at Vivek for Real, and it goes, the new global reserve currency, hashtag Bitcoin. And at the risk of being trolled, I am completely confirmed that this is a troll of The Economist, and it goes, the new global reserve currency and why we were too stupid to see it coming, and it's got the Bitcoin logo. And again, on the same vein of yellow journalism, we got John Toshi Lakamoto, and it goes, hashtag Bitcoin CEO has spoken. And we got this very awesome article from the New York Times, and it goes, Bitcoin CEO, I'm not going to increase the block side. Big blockers have to put their JPEG somewhere else. And we have Doran Nakamoto just sitting here goes, Mr. Nakamoto describing how big blockers need to go eat a bag of dicks. And he doesn't give a fuck. I didn't see the bottom part, but let's go. Anyways, the Bitcoin therapist on Twitter goes, Bitcoiners are always ready, hashtag BTC. And we got the new play on the new techie Wojak, and goes, no, you can't just root for the entire financial system to fail, no. And we got this Chad Bitcoiner with his helmet and his night vision goggles, and it goes, I've been preparing for this moment my entire life, this is the way. And shout out to Amber App, I really love this meme, and I think this is a good pin for all the conversation we had today. And the tweet goes, the less government we have, the better. Ralph Waldo Emerson. And it goes, the fewer things politicians control, the less it matters who controls the politicians. This is the separation of money and state. Anyways, guys, drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover ours live. I'm getting back into BTC pins. Sats, what's he called it? Cards, Sats obsessed mentality. And we got the orange pill white card here, because we'd be dropping orange pills all day. All right, Mike, what's your meme review score?
I think I'm going to go with a classic stack of Great American Mining stickers here.
Ooh, they're collecting
signs now, though, so you guys are going to have to deal with not being able to get them.
Dude, he's got a stack over there. Look at you. All right, guys, drop your meme review score in the chat as we plug Represent while we're waiting for you guys. Shouts out to Represent. I wear it every single day. What am I wearing? Oh, I'm wearing the limited edition Simply Bitcoin B logo that matches the hat that I wear all the time. Go to representltd.com, use promo code simply-bitcoin, all caps, and you can get, I think it's 10% off all the gear. You'll see Nico, you'll see Nico in Miami wearing a hoodie. That's a Represent hoodie. Who does that? Absolute psychopath. Anyways, let's see if some of these have, no memes yet. All right. I gotta continue, because I can't rug pull the memes, because every time I do that, everyone yells at me. So we're gonna chill out for a moment. Wait for your meme scores to come through. But Mike absolutely killed it. I did have your little clip here.
We could play that while we're waiting for the meme scores in. That'd be perfect, actually.
Yeah, actually, we're gonna do that. This is an extra meme for you guys. Check it out. 1 second. Let me get this for you guys. This is Mike's on his Twitter. He's absolutely killing it. Where'd it go? I had it here a minute ago. Here we go. All right. Check this out, guys. Let me get this going for you guys. Good clip. Really sums up everything we've been talking about here.
Fire, just like the Federal Reserve is. It's all based on paper. There's nothing of any real value there. It's all paper notes. And he sent the Templars to prison and execution, except for Scotland and Portugal, where the Pope and King Philip IV really didn't have a lot of control. I think that the governments of the world, looking at the situation, looking how close we are to seeing this current world conflict emerge into a full-blown global thermonuclear war, that maybe they need to start thinking about the wisdom of King Philip the Fair and say it's time to simply grab all these private central bankers all at the same time, so they can't simply skedaddle from one nation to another and come back and try the same thing again, as they will inevitably do, because these people are addicts. They're hopelessly addicted to other people's money. That's why we call them money junkies. When we see somebody who's addicted to cocaine or methamphetamine or heroin, and we can easily see how they're destroying their home and community around them. Now we need to look at these money addicts and look at how they're destroying the entire world around them. And it's time for an intervention. It's time for us to become private central banking heretics, to stop believing that this is the way life is supposed to be, because it isn't. It isn't even the way the United States was actually started. And they're trying as hard. Look at the destruction of our nation. We used to be the world's greatest nation. Now the most generous estimate is we're down to number 16 and still falling. And yet, despite the destruction to our nation, its infrastructure, its children, its quality of medical care, the quality of its manufacturing output, we still are compelled somehow to go out and force this same banking system onto the rest of the world at the point of a bayonet. Does that make any sense at all? Not to a rational human being. To a money junkie, yeah, it's perfect. But we're really at a crisis point in history. And the first step to resolving that crisis, to not let it go any further into a potential nuclear war, is to recognize that private central banking, ruled by manufactured illusion of debt, is no more legitimate a system of governance than rule by divine right or rule by slavery. We all need to recognize the true cause of all the pain and suffering and wars. It's not the terrorists, it's not Al-Qaeda. These are just distractions and set pieces put in front of your eyes so you can't see the very clear pattern behind much of modern human history. It's a war of banking systems. Empire, just like the Federal Reserve is.
Whew. Wow. Too much sauce on today's episode. Anyways, we got some meme reviews in here. Let's go. First one is by Speedster47. It goes, love that last one. I give it one sherm. Okay. All right. Perfect. Okay. This next meme review is score. Sorry. This next score is by Igor, and he goes, I'm all right. Heads up. I'm not filtering right now. So if I mess up and I pull one up, I will filter. Anyways, Igor, I give those memes 3 Hail Marys, 4 Our Fathers, and a glory be, keys be upon you. No, sir, keys be upon you. Okay, this next meme review score is by Opti's Golf Caddy, Jenny Yellen Harder. Score, Mike's Caddy, Chrissy Lagarde, only in an ascot. Nice. That's a nice visual. Okay, this next one is by Ranmore, and he goes, score my fam flying kites. If you know, you know. I guess I don't know. Let's go. Okay, it's basic biology. Score is, I give the means the cure for pneumonia, ultra microscopic volcano sclerosis. Okay. Okay, McLovin, my meme score, Mike's caddy, Chrissy Lagarde, and Opti's caddy, Jan Yellen, in an epic Jello wrestling match. Yo, y'all wilding out here. Okay, last one is by our friend Tucson. Shouts out to Tucson, and he goes, I give those memes a good price cave on Zillow. Tucson is looking for a cave on Zillow because he told him that if he wants to live off the grid, avoiding politics, he's got to live in a cave.
Have fun.
Anyways, you guys already know the deal. Go check us out on the audio only platforms on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Fountain. Tomorrow is Friday. We will be back to our normal show. If we have enough time, I will cover the comments, but we appreciate everyone that's sending us comments. It really means the world to us. Continue to spread the signal, continue to clip us. It's all about spreading the signal, guys. That's all that really matters here, is just waking more people up, getting more Bitcoin into people's hands, because it's the only way we can make it out of this, guys, is just getting people to hold Bitcoin. Anyways, Mike, thank you for coming out. Absolutely. Yep. Killed it. Always with the receipts, always has a sober take, whereas I'm always overly bullish and hyperbolic. So where can people find you? What are you working on? What do you want people to go look forward?
You guys can find me on Twitter. The handle is right below me right there, at the Mike Hobart. Two E's, just to differentiate myself from all the scammers and the bots out there. But I also wanted to add, some of the comments were asking where that audio came from. That audio, if you go to the tweet, I have the link to the YouTube video provided in the following tweet underneath it. But if you don't go to Twitter, just search for All Wars or Bankers Wars on YouTube. It's like a 40-minute video.
Pure signal.
Oh, and then you asked me what I was working on. I have another article that's going to be coming out here soon that is not part 4 of the series. I'll be working on that here shortly. But this separate article is talking about how we can provide national defense for the United States, and really for any other country that wants to copy the model. You can provide national defense of the energy and energy grid infrastructure with Bitcoin mining, and I will be detailing that in that article.
Wow, are you going full Jason Lowry on us, Mike?
smarter than Jason Lowry.
Love to hear it. All right, Mike, jump in spaces and we'll continue the conversation.
Yep.
Guys, really, really appreciate you guys all hanging out with us. I'm glad that we can be a part of your day. Continuously spread the signal, guys. And we will be back with our normal show tomorrow. Nico will be back. We'll be back to the normal programming. But come hang out with us on Twitter Spaces. The conversation will go on for about another 30 minutes. And we're going to just continuously spread the signal. I'm sure, hey, if you like what Mike was saying on today's show, go hang out with us on Twitter. Simply Bitcoin TV on Twitter. That's where Mike really gets toxic, guys. And that's where the real signal happens after the show. Come hang out with us. Anyways, we'll see you tomorrow. Really appreciate everyone that comes hang out with us. Till next time. Peace out, boys and girls. The ending is not as good as usual when I am the one that does all the hosting. But hey, the show, don't stop. We are in Twitter Spaces. This is a Bitcoin-only space by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. So come up here, add to the conversation. I am sure we're going to get Mike to just continuously go in a little harder on everything he said on the show, because that's what we do here. We just continue to give the signal all day, every day. But Mike, really appreciate it. Everyone else, come up here. Let's continue this conversation. It's way more fun when I have friends up here than when I got to sit on my soapbox. But hey, you already know the deal.